Today we're just having our annual vision day. So thanks very much for coming. It's an in-house affair, I suppose, just for us as gospel partners or those who consider ourselves to be partners in this work, just to sort of take a step back and reflect on why we're doing what we're doing and sort of hear back on various elements. The agenda is that we will just have a Bible thoughts from John 21. And then Simon Dowdy will share a couple of reflections on future plans for the ministry. Then we'll have a finance update, which unfortunately our treasurer can't be with us today. We've got a video from her, so that should be very clear. And then finally, we'll just sort of finish with some encouragements over the last few months, which thought it would be worth sharing for your and our encouragement and inspiration. Going to hear from Will Rugg, stuff that's been going on in Rathbones. And then I think we'll sort of close our time formally together, but there'll be a chance for Q&A if anyone wants to stick on, and we can chat through any questions that people have. I'm going to be around, and Simon too, to stick on. So that's the plan. Let me pray as we begin, and then we can. Father, we thank you very much for our partnership in the gospel. Thank you. We think of the Apostle Paul rejoicing with thanksgiving for his partnership in the gospel with the Philippians. We thank you that partnership in the gospel is a precious thing, that is something to be to rejoice in before you. We thank you for the work that you have been doing in the Aldersgate area over many years. And we pray now, as we reflect and think about the future, that you would be with us, you would give us wisdom, and please encourage and challenge and inspire us as we think about how best to continue to serve the Lord Jesus wholeheartedly in the Aldersgate area. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Well, I think, I don't know about you, I find myself asking the question, why are we here? What are we doing? Fairly regularly. I think it's definitely worth doing that once a year. So the question we're going to ask is exactly that. Why are we here? What's the point of workplace ministry? What's the point of the Aldersgate talks? Especially now, I guess some of us may be thinking, well, you know, what difference now is COVID going to make? What about a post-COVID city and that kind of thing? Just flick open to John chapter 21. Of course, there's 1,000 places we could go to, really, in the Bible to discuss our vision in the Aldersgate talks. But John chapter 21 has really struck me recently. Verses 15 to 19, I'll read them, famous verses. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you to where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Those last few words, verse 19, after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." I take it Peter here is an archetypal disciple. So this is not just for Peter, but Peter is being held up here as an archetypal disciple in the same way as he was in his failure at the cross when he denied Jesus three times. He's an archetypal disciple as he's commissioned by Jesus. And so I take it that this is not just for him, but this is for all who would want to follow Jesus. Those famous words, "If you love me, feed my sheep." I used to think, until quite recently, I used to think that this was about the church. So this was a sort of kind of in-house commission, you know, find Christians and feed them. But so it was pointed out to me, and I'm sure you guys have all sort of, you know, you're thinking, where have you been for the last however many years, Phil? But it was pointed out to me that when Jesus said this to Peter, it was in the first instance an entirely evangelistic call. Because the sheep that Jesus is referring to are out there in the world and they're not yet converted, as Jesus says this to Peter, feed my sheep. They're out there, they're unconverted sheep in the world. And when Jesus says, feed them, I take it, he means give them the gospel and they will hear my words and follow me. John chapter 10. So it's actually to Peter, in the first instance, it's an evangelistic call. Feed my sheep. What then are the two great marks of our love for Jesus, according to Jesus in John's gospel? Number one, chapter 15, if you love me, you keep my commandments. This is my commandment that you love one another. And so the first mark of our love for Jesus is that we love one another. We love the church. What's the second mark of our love for Jesus? Chapter 21, mission. Feed my sheep out there in the world. But also, I want us to see what an encouraging understanding of mission this is that Jesus gives to Peter. Notice he doesn't say, go and make people into my sheep. Go and convert people. Rather, he says, feed my sheep who are already my sheep out there in the world. In other words, Peter's job is simply to go and give them the gospel. And as they hear the gospel, as they hear Jesus' words, they will follow him. I think that's wonderfully encouraging, isn't it? An encouraging understanding of what mission is. That Jesus says, you know, my sheep are out there. They will hear my voice and they will follow me. Your job is to give them the gospel, to feed them. So what's the point of workplace ministry? Well, I take it that together we are seeking to feed Jesus's sheep in the city. The hundreds of thousands of people the tens of thousands in Aldersgate, people in the city. We are therefore out on mission together. There are many reasons, aren't there, to be on mission, many motivations in the gospel. You think of Matthew chapter 28, all authority has been given to me, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. But here, Jesus' command comes out of our love for him. Because we love Jesus, this is his command to us. If you love me, which we do if we're Christian, Jesus says, and I guess, you know, perhaps you like me need to rehear these words of Jesus spoken personally to you at the beginning of 2021. Jesus says to each of us and to all of us, if you love me, feed my sheep. And so what's our 2021 going to be about as individuals and together at the Aldersgate Talks? If you love me, feed my sheep. Now, some of us may be asking, what's the future of lunchtime ministry post-COVID? Now, of course, no one can know for sure, and I don't presume to know for sure. The Lord can do what he wants. However, I do think that we can say three things that persuade me that it would be foolish not to press on full steam ahead with city lunchtime ministry. The first is, the workplace will surely remain the primary opportunity for most of us, whether physical or hybrid or virtual, the primary opportunity for most of us, because these are the people, our colleagues are the people who we rub alongside with and who must rub alongside with us, whether virtually or physically, for most of your waking life. And therefore, it's our colleagues who most naturally will continue to be our neighbours. Secondly, market forces. I am no expert in this but I just assume that market forces, the buildings in Aldersgate must fill up again. And thirdly, social forces. One suspects that face-to-face will always be better, and that will have an impact as well on people coming back. So I think it would be a mistake to assume, and sometimes, yeah, people have been sort of, I suppose it's our natural assumption, but I think it would be a mistake to assume that a post-COVID city will be less conducive to lunchtime ministry. If we have a more hybrid working situation, which some people think we will and seems likely, well, it may mean that we have access, therefore, to more people and not fewer people if a greater number of firms are able to have some kind of a foothold in the city. Also, it may be harder for some to attend lunchtime talks publicly, but easier for others. Who knows what the factors are that are going to be at play with a hybrid city, different pressures on people and that kind of thing. So I think it would be a mistake to assume that actually this is going to mean fewer opportunities. It may even mean more. So what are we saying? Jesus says to all of us, if you love me, feed my sheep. And that is a call to mission. That's therefore what we're about at the Aldersgate Talks. It's what we're still about, to work together to reach the tens of thousands of people who we have access to, who are based in the Aldersgate area. So there's just a sort of refresher on what we're about from John 21. We're now going to hear from Simon Dowdy. Just to get the future plans for the ministry. Simon, could I hand over to you?
Yeah, very happy to. Yeah, thanks very much indeed. Phil. Phil has asked me to give an update on our future plans, both in terms of the Aldersgate talks and also the Moorgate talks as well, just in order to provide some kind of ministry context, really, for the finance update, which will then follow. Phil has just reminded us, so helpfully, isn't he, that actually the aim of these lunchtime ministries is to make disciples of Jesus Christ in the city. We do that as we proclaim the gospel amongst the working population through teaching and applying the Bible, whether that's lunchtime talks or Christianity Explore courses or small group Bible studies or one-to-one ministry. As part of that, we're also longing to equip Christians and train them to be real gospel partners, if you like, in the workplace so that they can better make Jesus known. And we'll be hearing from Will on that a little bit more later on. For those who don't know, these talks at Aldersgate were set up originally in the year 2000, so just over 20 years ago now, by a group of city workers who were going to similar lunchtime talks as these at St. Helens Bishopsgate, but for whom lunch breaks were getting more and more pressured, and therefore they sought to establish a similar kind of ministry but in the Aldersgate area. I was then asked in 2001 if I would take those talks on and became the Guild Vicar of St. Botolph's in 2002. In 2010, we planted the Moorgate talks, again, because we had a significant group of people who were coming to the Aldersgate talks, and there were others who were involved in the St. Helens talks for whom actually the travel on a lunchtime, either to Aldersgate or to St. Helens, was too much, and they were looking to start something more locally. That's been the vision. Vision today is very much the same, as Phil was saying. It is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, looking ahead in terms of staffing, after much thought, I have taken the decision to leave St. Botolph's and the Aldersgate and Moorgate talks in the summer of this year. I had considered doing it last year, but the church wardens encouraged me to stay on to oversee the work both during COVID and also, we trust, gradually coming out of COVID. Now, after 20 years, that has not been an easy decision. But it is, I think, made much easier by the fact that Phil will be overseeing St. Botolph's and therefore the Aldersgate and Moorgate talks during the interregnum, as we know, he's well suited to city ministry and is passionate about it. Once I've left in the summer, the church council will then be advertising and interviewing for a successor. In the Church of England, you may know that can't happen until I've gone. We then expect the interregnum to last something like 6 months, around that period of time. Now, the challenges ahead are significant as we seek to rebuild the ministry post-COVID. And yet there are also opportunities, as Phil has just been hinting at. And in particular, one area geographically where we have identified opportunities is in the Old Street area, the Old Street roundabout, as you know, now known as Silicon Roundabout, fast becoming Europe's answer to Silicon Valley, with technology firms so much in abundance in the area. For some time, we've seen the potential for gospel ministry in the Old Street area. The Moorgate Talks have put on various evangelistic events and other lunchtime talks on a fairly kind of informal ad hoc basis over the last few years. And over the last 2 years, Phil and Claire have been meeting with Christians in the area, planning and praying towards what we trust will be the public launch of lunchtime talks in that area. And yet at the same time, I think we've become increasingly clear that that is not something which we can do with the existing staff team without Phil and Claire being spread far too thinly. And therefore, the Church Council has taken the decision to recruit an additional staff member from September this year to work towards launch and then oversee Old Street lunchtime talks. They will also serve at the Aldersgate Talks, which in turn will enable Phil and Claire to spend a little bit more time at the Moorgate Talks. So in other words, Phil and Claire will be split as they are at the moment between Aldersgate and Moorgate, and then the new staff member will split his time between Old Street and Aldersgate. In summary, we're planning and praying to move to a situation where we have a full-time vicar at St. Botolph's, whereas I've always been part-time. And it will be the first time, actually, St. Botolph's has had a full-time vicar, certainly for 40 years, possibly for more than that. And in addition to that, two other full-time staff members, and then the launching of a third lunchtime talk. So that is where we're in God's kindness, that is where we are planning to go in the next year or two. And hopefully that gives some kind of background and context for the finance update that follows.
Thanks very much, Simon. As I said, there'll be chance for questions if you want to stick around afterwards on any of that. We're now just going to have a brief finance update. I'm going to try and upload Victoria, our treasurer's update. Sorry, just bear with me. So that you can open it up. And then she has recorded a... here we are. So that should be coming to you. So do open that up and have that open, and we'll listen to Victoria's kind of commentary really on it. I'll try and share my screen now.
So I'm going to give an update on our finances, both for last year and for the coming year. I want to start by saying a huge thank you to you for your generosity in giving over the course of 2020. Giving for the year was around £140,000, and that's in line with what we had budgeted for at the start of the year, probably what we'd normally look to spend in staff costs, etc., over the course of a normal year. We also received some additional income last year from the furlough scheme due to Claire being unable to work from home for a large portion of the year. And again, very grateful for that. Over the course of last year, expenses were lower than normal, In particular, we didn't need to hire the venue at Moorgate. And there were also some other reduced expenses and staff costs. In terms of the building itself at St Botolph's, we kept work on that to essential maintenance only. And in a normal year, the building totally pays for itself due to the rental income, etc., sustained over the course of the year. And that did continue to be the case in 2020, albeit that that expenditure was also reduced quite dramatically. And as we look forward to next year, we do expect to need to do a little bit more maintenance on the building, just things we put off over the course of 2020. So we do expect those costs to be a bit higher. And the income for the building, again, uncertain, although we do hope the orchestras will resume and can start using the building again as soon as possible. However, as we did manage to reduce our expenses over the year, our income was in line with budget. We did achieve a surplus for the year of around £50,000. And that was really important for us, particularly as we started 2020 below our level of reserves. We don't have any extra reserves, so that money we hold in our bank account is what we need to pay our staff wages month on month. And being able to finish ahead, actually, of our reserve target is a huge encouragement and a huge blessing, particularly as we look forward to the next year, where we're looking on taking on that additional cost of an associate staff worker. And also, we've got some uncertainty over the future of Phil's housing. We currently rent that at a very favourable rate from St Helens, and it's likely that St Helens will want to use that building for their own staff in the future, and we'll need to look to other sources and potentially paying something more in line with a natural market rate. So again, seeing our income figure hit for the year and having our reserves at our planned for level has given us the confidence really for the year ahead. But we do still need your giving, and if you don't already give already, I would encourage you to prayerfully consider it. It's so critical for the ministry. Most of our costs, as you can see from the charts, are on staff costs, and that's staff wages that we need. So giving regularly really is the best way and the most helpful way to give. And if you do need any further information on giving, do just let me know. There is information regularly attached to the emails, but I'm happy to provide details to anyone. Thank you very much.
Great. A huge thanks to Victoria in her absence for all she does on the treasurer's side. As you can see, a lot to give thanks for. Some of you remember there was an appeal at the very beginning of the year, or back in September, because we were significantly under, and the Lord has massively answered that prayer. Thank you very much for your partnership in the gospel in that way. But as Victoria said, we're hoping to continue to grow as a ministry. So if you would like to consider or reconsider your giving, there is an email coming out on Thursday, which will have the details of how to do that. It'll have the giving form, etc. Great. Finally, just by way of encouragement, I just thought I'd share some reflection, or just some news, really, as to what's been happening online. So the Lord has been, many people have found lockdown has been tough for opportunities, but I wanted to share with you some places where there really have been opportunities for your encouragement, because obviously, you know, we don't all have the same opportunities at the same time, but it's really encouraging, is it, to hear where some of our brothers and sisters have been. A lot of this has been happening in Moorgate, a little bit in Aldersgate, but over the last 10 months, there has been more engagement with Christianity Explored courses online, in-house, in-firm Christianity Explored courses, than I can remember ever in my sort of 10 years or so in city ministry. I was just looking and giving thanks. There have been sort of four online CE courses, over 40 people from various backgrounds, engaging, not necessarily coming for the whole course, but engaging with the gospel. So people from atheist, non-religious backgrounds, Catholic, church-going, all people who need to hear the gospel. And, you know, some of them have come for one or two and then just wandered off, but some have been, continued coming and real hunger. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, even in a normal year, I think we'd be rejoicing, you know, at sort of 40-odd, over 40-odd people sort of engaging with the gospel through Christianity Explored. So I think we can really give thanks for that. One of the things I've learnt, or just relearned, I suppose, is that what the Lord can do through just having one person in a workplace. So most in many of these cases, it's been one individual in the workplace who's just said, oh, I'm going to organize a Christianity Explore course online. And in one case, 20 or so people signed up to come along. And, you know, part of it being online is if your firm is based in various places across the world and the UK, then you've got a bigger net of people who might come along. So I just thought I'd encourage you with that. And, you know, obviously the challenges with follow-up when you're online, you know, there's just that sort of slightly diminished relational element. But a couple of the courses have had, or two or three of the courses have had good follow-up. And I just wanted to bring in Will Rugg, who's at Rathbones. Thanks, Will, very much for joining us. Just to explain to us what you did at Rathbones, what happened, and then what you're doing now.
My pleasure, and thanks for having me. So really, I think what encouraged me in the first place to put on a Christianity Explored course at Rathbones to try to do that was just seeing the success. I think, Phil, you developed, it was a short and three-week version of the course, which is really, proves quite successful at another firm. And just hearing about that at one of the weekly prayer meetings was an encouragement. And also seeing the number of people in my local church, just people coming from all over and joining our online meetings on Sundays, just, you know, it gave me a sense that there's a real spiritual hunger out there. And it was helpful that, you know, Phil could provide support in terms of leading the Christianity Explored course. And that was an encouragement as well. So then it was just a case of setting a date with Phil. And once we'd done that, then, kind of had to get on with it and do it. So the way we advertised it was to send out an email to the whole group on behalf of the Christians at Rathbones. So that was kind of a scary thing to do because it's going out to absolutely everyone from the CEO on down. But when I sent that email, I was astonished by the response. It was amazing. I was sitting there seeing replies coming back and thinking, just assuming that must be out of office replies because they came so thick and fast. It was really quite amazing. I think we really did strike a chord with colleagues. I think the pandemic is really making a lot of people think about, you know, what is it all about? Why am I on this planet? And just realizing how fleeting life is and how things can be just taken away from us in a moment. And I think that general environment just, it led to a really big response. About 20 plus colleagues responded and took up the opportunity to do Christianity Explorer course. Not all 20 actually showed up, but there were a good 15 plus that consistently came along for those first 3 weeks. It maybe started to dwindle a little bit after week three, but a lot of them were keen to continue after week three. And so we went ahead and did the full 6 weeks. And at the end of that, we've put together something that we've called Meet Jesus. So that's not my original idea, but it was a great thing to call this. Basically it's a Mark study, a study in Mark's gospel. A way to just come and continue to consider the claims about Jesus from Mark's gospel and for colleagues that came along to Christianity Explored to follow that up and find out more about who Jesus is and why he came. And so we've had four colleagues coming along to that, and they've pretty much come, every one of them, every week
So this has been about 3 or 4 weeks we've been doing running this now, really coming with a hunger and eagerness just to really look at Mark's gospel and consider what is it teaching us about Jesus, and really, you know, really open and hungry. It's been fantastic to see, really easy for me in terms of organizing it and preparing each week. I've got some helpful notes that that Phil sent along, and just having, you know, studied Mark's gospel before in the past. So it's really something that anyone could do, especially when you've got colleagues that are keen to look into the gospel. So there's not much preparation involved. I can just sort of, you know, spend a few minutes every week preparing, and just having, you know, colleagues eager to come in here. It's been a real joy.
Thanks, Will. That's wonderful to hear. I invite Will in partly for just our encouragement. You know, isn't it wonderful to hear that some are hearing the gospel, and partly for our inspiration, because actually it may be that there are people listening in who think, actually, I could do something like that. If that's you, do just get in touch with me. I'd be triple willing to help. We've designed a couple of courses, CE courses for lunchtimes. So do just let me know and we can make it happen. I suppose for some of us, the issue is how do you advertise it widely, as Will was able to do that. And, you know, but if you want to talk about that as well, do please be in touch. I think that's our sort of official time up in terms of vision. But just by way of saying, let's give thanks for what's already happening. Let's press on as we seek to feed Jesus's sheep in obedience to him. Could I ask our church warden, Mark Crossley, would you mind praying for us as we close?
Sure, I'll do that for you, Phil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time to be together this lunchtime. We praise you for the gospel and this wonderful opportunity that we have in the Aldersgate and indeed Moorgate areas to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, so much for the many years of service that members have put in, sharing the gospel with colleagues, bringing them along to Christianity Explore courses, bringing you along to the talks. We thank you so much as well for Simon's ministry, and we pray that in these last few months of his ministry, you'd enable him to continue to have opportunities to encourage others in the gospel and to explain it to them for the first time. We ask too, Heavenly Father, that you might guide us all as we think about our own individual offices and ministry fields, and also as we make decisions as a body of believers based at the Aldersgate talks, thinking about the future. We thank you that there are finances available. Thank you so much for generous giving. We pray that we be good stewards of those resources. We pray for wisdom to spend those monies wisely. We pray for help as we think about new staff members. We pray on for Claire as well, as she recovers from illness. We pray for a speedy recovery for her too. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that in everything we will be aiming to see your name honored and to bring you glory. Father, we pray we would not be in this for ourselves, but for the sake of your name and the glory of the Lord Jesus. We want him to be honored by many, many more people in the city. And so whatever form the post-COVID world takes, Father, please give us great boldness and courage. Give us prayerfulness and patience, dependence on you, Father, to bring this gospel to many, many people. Please help us, Father, to remember this call to feed your sheep, to be presenting the gospel to people. And we know, Father, we have great reassurance from your word that those who are your sheep will listen to your voice and will follow you. And we pray that conviction, that firm promise of your word would enable us to be confident as we go forward. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Mark. We'll draw formally to a close there, but if people want to stick around and ask questions about anything to do with the ministry, feel very free. So let's take questions. If you need to slip off, that's fine. But if anyone has any questions, please feel free to shout.
Simon, I'm not sure if I missed you saying this, but what will happen to you? Where are you going?
No, you didn't miss it. No, so as you'll know, Antoine, I've been spending the majority of my time serving at a church in South London where we live. So my plan is simply to be doing that full time.
Nice.
Any other questions, COVID-related discussion, ideas, thoughts, or anything along those lines, or any other lines, finances?
Hey, I have a question, but I just wonder, this question is directed to Will. I just wonder if you could share like kind of the email that you sent to the company, like with like the invitation for Christianity Explored.
Sure, yeah, I'd have to do that. I can send it to Phil, who could maybe forward it on to you if that's helpful. But I mean, in essence, I just said something like, you know, everyone is experiencing challenges to one degree or another in this pandemic, and it may be leading you to wonder what it's all about. You know, there's words to that effect. And I'm just saying, you know, we as a group of Christians at Rathbones, we really want to share the good news of Christianity with colleagues. And if you're interested in finding out more, please come along to a Christian Explore course, something along those lines. But I can send you I can find the email and send it through if that would be helpful.
Yeah.
That's a very helpful request, Nick, I think, because often we do hear about other companies doing stuff, but we don't see the kind of nuts and bolts, do we, of how it was done. And maybe a lot of us would worry about agonizing for hours over the right words in an email, and actually if you could say to a communications team or an HR team, oh, this is the kind of email that's been sent around another office in the city, it might kind of persuade them to kind of think, okay, well, if other firms are allowing this kind of diversity or whatever, then maybe we can too. So yeah, that's a really good idea. So I don't know whether Phil, it's worth attaching to next week's weekly email. I mean, you could anonymize it, right? But it would give people a sort of an idea of the kind of email you might send. It's got a thumbs up, you see.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll attach Phil's anonymized email to next week's weekly email. Any other questions, comments? Good. Okay. Well, I think that's our time then. Thank you very much indeed, everyone, for coming. We look forward to next week hearing, kicking off with Luke again, Luke's Gospel, and Simon's going to be leading us in a four-part series in Luke's Gospel. There's a flyer for it, actually, that we produced. So if you want to use that to invite colleagues or people, please do. And that's attached to the email that we sent yesterday. See you all next week. Thanks for coming.